She is going into her freshman year, and Dave doesn't get emotional much, but you should see him when he starts talking about her. His eyes all well up, and it's pretty impressive. But he's up in Michigan right now, and he's with her, and they're doing their thing. And so I'm taking over today, at least this part of the service. If you don't know, my name is John Kelly. I'm one of the ministers here on staff. And as you can tell, my message is going to be a little different. I just spent the last 20 minutes back here making salsa. And you're probably thinking to yourself, why in the world is a guy on stage making salsa for a sermon? Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. One thing I will tell you is, at my house, I'm the one who cooks most of the time. We just found it's a whole lot easier in our family for me to go ahead and be the one that cooks. So when Rhea gets home with our baby girl, we can go ahead and eat right away, and then we have the rest of the night free for us. And we also have a rule that if I cook, then she has to do the dishes, and I hate doing dishes. So I'll cook as often as I can. But real excited about what we're going to be talking about today. Before we get started with any of that, though, would you bow your heads and pray with me, and we're going to go into our time of just discovering what God is trying to tell us this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as your people. We pray, God, that we honor you in this service today. We pray that we are honoring you with our thoughts and with our minds, God. We pray that you, above anything else, are going to be honored today. God, we desperately seek after you. We desperately long for you to teach us and show us the way we need to live. And we pray this all in your son's name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 12. Last week, Dave, he finished up the story about Lazarus. Lazarus is the guy who died, and Jesus literally raised him from the dead. That was our whole thing last week, was raising the dead. This week, we're going to talk about something a little bit different, and we're going to start in the book of John 12. So if you want to start right there with me in verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And then the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should have this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. There's one thing I want you to understand today, just one thing. Okay, it's kind of wordy, but I want to put this up on the screen real quick. It's this: sacrifice gives life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that same sacrifice breathes life into the church. There's something you have to understand about sacrifice in the Bible. There's a thing here that's a simple truth, and you may not realize it, you may realize it, but it's that there's no such thing as life without death. There's no life without death. I just had an example of that. I just killed a bunch of vegetables so we could eat them. Okay? Those vegetables were once living organisms. Now they're dead. And why are they dead? So I can eat them. I like killing vegetables. They're very delicious. Right now I'm on a diet where I'm basically just eating a lot of vegetables and a lot of fruits and things like that. And because I'm on this diet, this is the kind of stuff we end up making a lot of. We make a lot of these things with fruits and vegetables. And so it's something I'm used to. And one of the things that I find interesting is to make something great, like, let's take a salsa. One of the main ingredients is what, a tomato, right? You want to put a tomato in it. Did you know that the sooner that you eat the tomato after its life has been taken from it, the better the tomato is? You ever think about that? The most recently that it was dead, the better the tomato tastes. And it's that way with meat, it's that way with vegetables, it's that way with everything. When you eat it directly after it's been killed, it's always the best. Who loves, like seriously, who loves steak in this room? Okay, I'm on a diet where I only eat vegetables. I love steak though, okay? Now, have you ever had a steak where literally it was just minutes from the farm? Has anybody ever had that before? Good stuff, right? Yeah, good stuff. That is the best way to eat a steak. It's like no other. The steaks that we get at the grocery store many times are a week, 2-3 weeks out when we get them. So they've been sitting for a while. Imagine a steak that's just been butchered and what that tastes like. Anybody grow up on a farm? Got a few of you that grew up on a farm. Fresh eggs, right? Best thing on the planet, right? Recently, pulled out away from that mom, and you get to eat those, and they're delicious. I don't know what you guys put in your salsa, but for me, I like to use tomatoes, garlic, cilantro, lime juice, salt, pepper. I put a little apple cider vinegar in there, and of course, you got the jalapeno pepper, you know, the spicy element of this. And they all come together as kind of like the Justice League of foods, and they sacrifice themselves so I can smile, you know? I get to put all these together and kill every one of them, and then I get to eat them, and it's delicious. They get to sacrifice for me. Now, this whole passage that we just read is about sacrifice. This whole package, Jesus has come to a table to eat a meal that's in his honor. And while he's sitting there, something really strange happens. We read that Mary takes this pint of perfume, okay? Pint of perfume. Did you catch that? How many women have a pint bottle of perfume? Much less one that's really expensive. She takes that and she pours it on Jesus' feet and she washes his feet with her hair. I don't know many men, women who have that kind of perfume sitting around. So I did some research. I want to know about nard, because that's just a weird name. That kind of sounds like lard, and that wouldn't be good on someone's feet. And so I was just kind of like, I got to figure out what this nard stuff is. So I look it up. It actually comes from a plant that's found in the Himalayan mountains. Now, if you know anything about geography, where Jerusalem is and where the Himalayan mountains are, that's a trip. Those things are not real close together, and this is at a time where they didn't have the same kind of motorized transportation that we had. They didn't have air travel. Most was on donkeys and horses and camels, and that's how they got places, or simply by walking. And so this stuff was imported, and it was expensive. It was exotic. I was a little curious because I was thinking, well, if there was a perfume like that today, what would it be? So I got online, and I decided to check out some of the most expensive perfumes around today, and I found the two most expensive. The two most expensive perfumes in the world. The first one is, if you want to show the picture of this one right here, this is Clive Christian's number one Imperial Majesty, which goes for a chump change total of $435,000. For perfume, like to make you smell funky. It's like, it's got all kinds of different scents in it, but the bottle itself is made from baccarat crystal and is decorated around the neck with a small gold piece that is encrusted with a 5-carat diamond. Ladies, do not even look at your husbands right now. That ain't happening. But if it does, I really hope you tithe. Now, that's impressive, right? That's really impressive, but I'm going to tell you, there's one that goes even beyond that, and that is the number one perfume in the world. If you want to show that up on the screen also, this is the DKNY Golden Delicious Million Dollar Perfume, which goes for $1 million. The bottle, I'm going to read you their definition of what this is. The bottle is a unique piece of art that can be considered as a decorative piece. It is made of 14-karat yellow and white gold and is encrusted with 2,909 precious stones, which are collected from different countries around the world. The precious stones include round brilliant white diamonds, golden yellow sapphires, 4 round rose cut diamonds, 15 round brilliant vivid pink diamonds, an oval cut ruby, a pear-shaped rose cut diamond, a turquoise Paraiba tourmaline, which was brought in from Brazil, and a flawless vivid yellow canary diamond. And that's just the bottle. That's not even the stuff inside. That's just the bottle. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you owned a bottle of that stuff and you poured it on some dude's stanky feet, I'm going to wonder about you a little bit. But that's exactly what Mary did. She took this perfume that was considered worth a year's wage, and I'm holding like this because that's about how much she had, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine what people were thinking? Like, what is wrong with this lady? What is wrong with this lady? Here she is taking this expensive stuff and just dumping it on his feet. But that's the situation here. Mary had just poured a year's wages onto Jesus' feet. Now, why would she do this? I'm going to completely not go spiritual here on this. I'm going to say she did it because she could. She was able to do it simply because she could. As expensive as that perfume was, if she didn't ever use it, was her life really going to change? If the perfume had disappeared and gone somewhere else, was her life really going to be ruined because there wasn't a perfume in her life? She could get rid of it. She could, because it wasn't something that was life-giving. It wasn't something she needed to have. How many of us have things that we have in our lives that we think are so important, they're worth so much, and we need them so badly, but the reality is we could live without them? Am I right? Teenage boys, you're going to hate me right now. Let's just be honest. Do you really need the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4? You don't. You really don't. Girls, do you really need the designer bags? You don't. You just don't. Your life will go on without it. You know, you really would. As much as I love football, if football was to go away, I would mourn for five and a half, 6 weeks, but I would get over it. I would get over it because you know what? It doesn't sustain my life. I want to challenge you today. Sacrifice because you can. You can sacrifice. And it's really weird, this relationship we have with sacrifice. Most times we do it because like we feel like we have to. We don't ever just do it because we can and we know that it's worth doing. We put money in an offering plate because the preacher said we're supposed to put money in the offering plate. We give our time in church because it's what we're supposed to do. What if instead we gave our time or money simply because we can and it's available? I can honestly tell you that none of our guys handing out the offering plates right now are packing and ready to shoot you if you don't put money in the offering plate. It'd be a great movie, but it would be horrible to happen in real life, and it doesn't happen. There's none of that going on. None of the ministers on our staff are going to knock you out if you say no to them about working in their ministry. That's not how things operate. But if we took an honest look at our lives, we would see how much money and time we waste in an average week. American obesity has skyrocketed since the turn of the 20th century. And before the turn of the 20th century, you didn't have radios, you didn't have TVs, you didn't have video game systems. They didn't have the big sporting events like we have today. Entertainment wasn't as big of a deal, and as a result, people were more active. They had more available time, and that's why you see churches like this one that was built by the people that went to this church. Because they could. Because they had the time, because it wasn't bogged down with entertainment. It wasn't bogged down with things they didn't need. You know, I'm not going to lie, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm not coming up here preaching at you going, I'm perfect, I never waste my time. I waste my time just like anybody else. And it's something I need to repent of as well. We all need to. It's called sacrifice. Webster's Dictionary defines sacrifice as the destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. Sacrifice is something that comes with a cost, or else it's not sacrifice. When Mary poured that expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus, it definitely cost something. So I guess I'm asking, what are we doing that truly costs something? What are we doing that could genuinely be considered sacrifice? I want you to sacrifice because you can. You may not think you can, but you can. But I also want you to sacrifice without worry about what others may think. As Jesus and the disciples are sitting there, Judas makes a comment that the perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Now, how many times have we heard this logic over the years? The church shouldn't be spending their money on this. They should be spending it on this. You know, or why are you spending your time working there or doing that thing when you could be using your time better elsewhere? We are in the most judgmental society in the history of the world right now. You don't believe me? Go to any news page on the internet and read the comment section of any article. Anyone with any kind of power is going to be scrutinized for every move they make, for every word they speak, and every dollar they spend, because nowadays, everyone is an expert on everything. Am I right? Everyone is an expert on everything. Everyone has an opinion, and many of them can be downright brutal. Notice the note after Jesus, after what Judas says. It says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He genuinely could have cared less about the poor. Judas is trying to throw this guilt trip on Jesus about this perfume being put on his feet because it's so expensive, because we could have spent it on the poor. You know, I've learned over the years that most of the church's harshest critics will tell you everything that's wrong about the church, but even if that criticism or that thing that they don't like wasn't there, they would never darken the doors of the church anyways. They simply want to be critical. And for most of us here today, when you sacrifice, when you give of yourself in a way that people just don't understand, they're going to mock you. Most cannot understand sacrificial giving, and as a result, they will mock you. And I promise you this. Most people who mock you for your sacrifice, they never sacrifice anything. People can't understand what they don't experience. And just like Judas, there will be people that will cause you to doubt the sacrifices you make. The sacrifices you make for your God, for your church, for your family. Yet they couldn't care about any one of those things. When David Kibler convinced me to move 7 hours south from the church of my dreams to plant Catalyst with him, one of my best friends told me that was the dumbest thing he'd ever heard. I'm not kidding. It's exactly what he said. He worked in the same church building with me. He was in the office next to mine. I walked in after reading this big, long letter from David Kibler, and I walked into his office, and I told him about it, and he goes, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." He said, "Why give up a sure thing with a great salary to move back to Kentucky into the unknown only to potentially fall flat on your face?" And I'm not going to lie, that did make me backpedal a little. This was somebody I trusted. But I knew this is what God wanted me to do. As difficult as it was to do that, I knew I could go, and I really needed to not worry about what other people thought. So this takes me to something else here. And that's that we need to sacrifice without worrying about where it's going. The definition we mentioned earlier states that sacrifice for the sake is done for the sake of something else. In other words, we don't sacrifice to help ourselves out. We sacrifice for others. We sacrifice and we trust what God does with it. This is something I think a lot of us struggle with. Just this idea that when we give our money, we need to give it and just trust. When Mary poured that expensive bottle of perfume on Jesus, she had no idea what it was that she was actually doing in that moment. She just knew she loved Jesus, and she wanted to honor him by pouring perfume on his feet. What she didn't realize is that she was doing something, as Jesus said in the passage, said, "It was intended that she should save this pure perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." The events of the day were happening only a short time before Christ was about to be crucified. When they were eating this meal, this is coming really close. We're inching closer and closer. The next day, he's going to walk his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he's sitting here talking about this. And what she didn't realize is that she was actually anointing Jesus. See, in Bible times, when they would put somebody in a tomb, they would cover their body in perfume. That was one of the ways they tried to cover up the smell of rotting flesh. And here she is putting this oil on Jesus, this perfume. And Jesus says, "She's preparing me for my burial." Without knowing it, Mary was doing this, preparing Jesus for crucifixion, the ultimate sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that defines who we are as a church. All she knew is that she needed to take this very expensive item and literally place it at the feet of Jesus. We hear that term used a lot in the church. Place it at the foot of Jesus. Mary was literally doing that. She had no care of what would happen to this perfume. She just wanted to give it to him. She had it, so she gave it. She didn't care what anybody else had to think about it, and she didn't care what would happen after she gave it. She was just simply being faithful to God. Here's my question for you today. Who wants some free salsa? Anybody want to try some salsa? Seriously, raise your hands if you want to try some salsa. Greg, come up here. Come on up here. You're in the front row. It's easy for you to get out. Come here. Come here. Try this out. I sacrificed a lot to make this salsa. And I want to see what Greg thinks of it. Greg's actually in my community group, so I'm playing a little bit of bias here. So why don't you give us a try and let me know what you think. Is it good? Yeah? Well, here, man. Let me make you a jar of this. You can take it home with you. Yeah.
Tastes like more.
I don't care what the rest of y'all think. I'm going to give it to him. So, no, I got to leave the chips. I got another service. There you go, man. That's yours, brother.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Give Greg a hand. He just walked up on stage for no reason. Now, here's the thing. It's great when you make something, it's great when you create something, it's great when you own something, but if you're not willing to give it to others and share it with others, then why do you have it? What's the point? When God provides for you and he gives for you and he allows you to have things in your life that you need, what's the point in having it if you don't give it away? Now sure, I could eat all this salsa. I could eat that in about 15 minutes flat. It's kind of fun to see Greg come up here and take a bite. That's good. You know, I mean, that feels good to hear somebody say that. And so to be able to give that to him and let him walk off with that and take it with him, that makes me happy. I don't mind giving some of what I have. But sometimes with other things in my life, I'm not as quick to give. I'm not as quick to give. So I want to challenge all of us to really think about that. What does it mean to sacrifice, to take something that belongs to me and give it away? I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come on back up. When we started chatting this morning, I said, true sacrifice is what gives life to the gospel story. And that same sacrifice breathes life into the church. The entire gospel is about sacrifice. The entire thing. Mary sacrificed something very special and very precious in order to prepare Christ to become the ultimate sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there is no life in the gospel story. If Jesus doesn't die on the cross, where's the good news? So I ask you today, what are you willing to sacrifice? You can sacrifice, but are you willing? Are you willing to block out the noise? Are you willing to give without condition? Are you willing to become a part of a much bigger story? Mary had no idea what this story would be. She literally just thought she was honoring Jesus. She had no idea that 2,000 years later, a group of people in Nicholasville, Kentucky would be talking about what she did. And she became part of a much bigger story. A small act with a huge sacrifice. Are you willing to become part of a much bigger story? This is the foundation on which our church, the Church of Jesus Christ, is built. And this is the true sacrifice that gives life to the gospel story. If we didn't have sacrifice, we wouldn't have Jesus. And if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have a church. So today I challenge you, as we stand to worship, sacrifice, give of yourself. Go ahead, you can stand up, it's okay, don't be afraid. Sacrifice, give of yourself, give of what you have. That's what this church is built on, and that's what we're all about as a church. Before we do anything else, let's pray and we'll go into our time of worship. Father, thank you for today, thank you for your son. Thank you for...